again. Lord has given us a beautiful day. We are going to be finishing up this series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit this morning. This has been actually started with probably several months ago, talking about the Holy Spirit and then the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the one today is probably one of the most controversial ones, so this should be fun. It doesn't need to be, but it just seems to be something that has kind of, it's caused all sorts of disagreement and issue and argument within the church for probably the last 2,000 years, I don't know, but especially lately. So let's go over our key verse once again, 1 Corinthians 12:1-11. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Let me start off with prayer. But before we pray, by just saying that if you disagree with me this morning, that's totally fine. I'm not going to get upset with you. We have different understandings about the gifts of the Spirit, and here at Hooray Yeshua, I don't expect you to agree with everything I agree on the fine doctrinal points. What I do expect is that we can love each other and be one in the things that really matter, and that's our relationship with the Lord and those types of things. We all have differing views on these things, and so I just want to say that before we start. Some people will agree, some people won't, some people will be confused. It's okay. It's okay. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Not everybody gets every gift of the Holy Spirit. These are both, actually, two gifts that I think are very necessary, just like all of the gifts are very necessary in the body. And so let's go ahead and pray. Lord, as we look at this passage and these passages this morning, we ask once again for your guidance and your leading, the leading of your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding of your word by the Holy Spirit, we pray. In Yeshua's name, amen. So what we're going to be focusing on this morning is this part of 1 Corinthians 12:10. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Even though these are two different gifts, I put them together this morning because they go hand in hand. They work together. And we'll see as we get into this that these two gifts definitely work side by side. And they shouldn't be separated, really, according to what Paul says. First of all, let's look at two different words here in the Greek. Genos being the first one. And that word means kinds. So when it says another to another, different kinds of tongues. So we have, it also can mean diversity. And so you have different kinds or diverse tongues. The word glossa means the tongue, by implication, a language, usually one naturally unacquired. Okay, usually, especially one naturally unacquired. Okay, so we all have a language that we communicate in. And what they call your language that you're born in, that you communicate in, one word that I've heard from that is your heart language, or the language that you are most comfortable with. It's the language that you grew up knowing. Okay, now a lot of us would like to have another language, right? You know, I'd like to know Hebrew fluently. I'd like that to be my heart language. I'd like to dream in Hebrew. But guess what? I'm an American Jew. I was born in America. A lot of people say, oh, well, you're Jewish. You were born in Israel. No. Still the majority of Jews that are not in Israel were not born in Israel. That's still the case for the most part. And I didn't learn Hebrew fluently. I learned English, not so fluently, but I still learned it. I learned it well enough to communicate, you know. And we all, as we know, have different backgrounds, different accents. Sometimes we wonder why we speak a certain way. People from the South have, you know, a Southern accent, you know, like talk more like this than we do, you know. And, you know, people from the North have, I guess, what's called a Northern accent. The Northern Baptists have a Northern accent. I always pick on Joyce about that. So anyways, because you have the Southern Baptist, and she was big with the Northern Baptists. So. But Californians, you know, I was a Californian. I was born in Oxnard, California. Yes, I actually admitted that. But I have a California accent. And what you notice with California is it's like a non-accent almost. You know, there's like, because you get so many different accents from so many different places. But every now and then we'll say a word or two a different way, weird. I do not say Ammons. I don't know who ever came up with that. But, I mean, the word has an L in it, you know. I'm sorry, but, you know. It just doesn't make sense. But of course, I wasn't born in Northern California in this area, so I probably don't understand that. We have different dialects within English, and I've heard some English that I had no clue what they were saying. They were speaking English, but I couldn't understand it for the life of me, you know. And yet at the same time, mostly from most English, we can somewhat understand. You know, most English that is spoken, we can somewhat understand. But when you go outside of our country, you start hearing some other languages. I mean, there's languages that I've listened to, and I can watch them, and I can watch what they're saying and their mannerisms, and I still can't pick up most of what they're saying. Because even their gestures are different. You know, even the way that they express themselves many times are different. And so you can't even understand the gestures sometimes, and that's really difficult. I've been to countries that have languages that you feel like you have to twist your tongue upside down to try to say a word. You know, I can't say it, you know. Polish is kind of like that. Hungarian, oh my goodness. You know, right in the middle of Europe, you'd think it'd have kind of a European. No. You know, Hungarian is like a mixture of like, Chinese and your Slavic languages together, you know. I mean, just imagine that, you know. It's incredible. It's an incredible language. It's a beautiful language, but it's just something I can't pronounce. I know Egan and Nim. That's yes and no. That's all I know in Hungarian. And I was there for 2 months and I couldn't pick it up, you know. Polish is pretty close to that. But even some of your basic, like French and German and those languages, you know, are a challenge. They're a challenge if you don't know it. And so the point of this is that there are many different languages in the world. We will be talking about that is part of what this is talking about, but not the whole thing today. Okay, God has a language. He speaks to us in our own language, right? There's nothing. See, here's the thing. In Messianic congregations many times, we get this idea, and I've been in the Messianic movement now for probably at least 30 years. I always say about 30 years. It's definitely probably 30 years by now. And one of the things that I used to be a part of, actually, is, oh, we can never say Jesus. We have to only say Yeshua. We can't, you know, it's a Messianic Jewish congregation, so you can only say Yeshua, right? No, wrong. Don't we mostly speak English in this particular congregation? Yeah. So if you say Jesus or you say Yeshua, that's fine. And if you're Spanish and you come in, Jackie's not here today, but if you're Spanish and you come in, say Jesus, that's okay. You know, Jesus likes to hear, Yeshua likes to hear his name in every language, not just Hebrew, every language. Why do you think he allowed all these languages? I know it happened at the Tower of Babel, but he still has glory from all those languages praising him and glorifying him. And so we need to not get hung up on those types of things, those nitpicky type things. You know, God understands his name in whatever language you speak it in, because it's the heart that you're saying it. Okay, now if you're saying the name of some other God, little g, that's different. But if you're speaking to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're speaking to God Almighty, whatever language you're speaking in to him, he understands. And his name he understands in all those languages. So let's not get hung up on that. What we're going to talk about today is a gift that comes from the Holy Spirit. That second word, glossa, like I said, was tongue. The third word is hermeneia, which means translation or interpretation. And so we're going to be talking about some of the biblical types of tongues that are mentioned in Scripture. There's three that I was able to identify. There could be more, but three that really stuck out of types of tongues, which I believe are all three of these are a gift from the Holy Spirit. The first one, Acts chapter 2, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the disciples' speech is heard in many different languages. Okay, so in Acts chapter 2, you have the disciples as they're talking, as they're glorifying God, as they're prophesying, you could say, they are heard in multiple languages. Which languages are they heard in? Well, it gives a list, actually, in Acts chapter 2. We'll get to that a little bit later. But they are heard in all these languages. Why? Well, because you have Jews from every one of these countries, it says, that were in Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of Shavuot, Pentecost. Okay, so they were all gathered in Jerusalem, and they heard the disciples speaking their own mother tongue. That doesn't mean that's what the disciples were actually saying, but that's how they heard it. Okay, so right there you have the gift of tongues in the sense that the disciples were just glorifying God by the power of the Holy Spirit, and yet all these people were hearing the gospel, they were hearing the good news, they were hearing about Yeshua in their own native tongue. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the ways that this gift of tongue manifests itself. The second way, tongues as a personal prayer language. 1 Corinthians 14:2 talks about that. Well, once again, we'll get looking at these verses a little bit closer. But tongues is a personal prayer language. I believe a second way that tongues is used today or seen in the church, even today, yes. I'm not one of those that believe this ended with the first century. I'm like, well, at what point in the first century? Oh, when the apostles died. Oh, okay, well, we don't need it anymore? I think we do. I think we need all the gifts of the Spirit today. Which one of the gifts of the Spirit are you going to say, well, that one ended, but we still need healing. This one ended, but we still need... Really? I mean, we say these things because we're uncomfortable with something. Maybe we haven't received that gift yet, so we're uncomfortable with it. We've seen it misused. And so, you know, I mean, look at it from this perspective. If I am against something because I've seen it misused. What is that called? If I'm against something in Scripture that's clearly written in Scripture because it's been misused, and I just won't even entertain it because I've seen it misused, guess what that's called? Prejudiced. That's prejudice. Think about it in terms of people. If you had a person of a certain race or color that treated you badly, and then the rest of your life you act that same, you act meanly towards those types of people because they treated you badly, what is that? That's prejudice. Yes, there might have been a reason why you were prejudiced at the beginning or why you start, you know, had that emotion or feeling, but it's not right. And it's the same thing we need to look at with the gifts of the Spirit. You know, just because it's been misused doesn't mean that it's not of God. Lots of things that are of God get misused. That doesn't make it right. I mean, what I'm saying is it's not right to misuse them, but it doesn't make the gift wrong. And that's what we need to do is say, what does Scripture say? What does the Word of God say about this gift of the Holy Spirit? Not what do I think, or what does my denomination say, or what is my, you know, am I comfortable with it? There's a lot of things about God I'm not comfortable with. And there's going to be a lot of things there's going to be a lot of things until I see him face to face and I'm changed into that new glorified body. A lot of things that I'm not comfortable with. But just because I'm not comfortable with them doesn't mean they're not good. So tongues as a personal prayer language. And finally, tongues as prophecy. Notice I have a little note here. Must have interpretation. Okay? The difference between those two. Tongues as personal prayer language should not be heard by everybody else. Okay? Number one. Should not be heard by everybody else. If it's a personal prayer language, it needs to be personal. Right? But tongues as prophecy is when tongues is heard by everybody else, but according to Scripture, it must have an interpretation. And Paul's going to get into that in a few minutes as we look at these passages. So let's look at the first one, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, where the disciples, the believers' speech, are heard in many different languages. Acts chapter 2, 5 through 11. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, that was the sound of the rushing mighty wind, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia or Phrygia, Pamphylia," if you can say it better, you can say it better to me afterwards. But anyways, "Egypt and parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So, all these people are gathered in Jerusalem at Shavuot. Okay, they are practicing, they are keeping the Feast of Pentecost. Yes, Pentecost didn't come about just with Christianity. Pentecost is a feast, a Jewish feast called Shavuot. It's the feast. It's the feast of the first harvest, you could say. Okay, it is not the first fruits, but the feast of the first harvest. And Shavuot was already celebrated. In fact, the Lord had commanded it to be celebrated. It's actually one of three feasts that all the men of Israel, all the Jews, wherever they are supposed to come to Jerusalem and celebrate every year. Okay, one of three feasts: Passover, Shavuot, and Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, in the fall. Okay, so they're all coming together and they hear the gospel in their own heart language. So tongues as one human language being heard as another. Okay, this is one of the gifts of tongues. Also, a gift of interpretation is happening at the same time, right? Because the language is being heard in another language. So you're able to speak by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are speaking your language, but it's being turned into somebody else's language. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Well, guess what? That didn't just happen back in Acts chapter 2. It happens today as well. I have a personal story. It's personal because my wife and I are one flesh. My wife went on a trip to Poland with Tour of Roses, and she was in Krakow, Poland. And this particular trip, I didn't get to go with her, but usually when we go to Poland, we have interpreters that have to speak for us because we can't speak Polish. My wife is really good at picking up accents and stuff, but she still doesn't know the language. She can't pick up all the words and remember all the words of Polish. And so usually we have interpreters. Those interpreters are usually Catholic believers who go with us because, like, probably about 98% of Poland is Catholic. And so they go along with our team and they interpret for us. Well, they were in Krakow, And there were a lot of people to talk to, and they were passing out roses. Well, all the interpreters were busy. So my wife handed a rose to an older man, actually quite old, and they began to talk. And they were talking back and forth. And they had a lengthy discussion. And as they were talking, the man shared about how he didn't believe in God because he was between three and five, when he saw the Nazis kill all the Jewish children in that very square that they were standing in, and that it was like three bodies high, the children that were killed. And he's like, you know, this type of stuff that I've seen, how could there be a God? And he's expressing, and Heather is pouring out her heart, you know, to him and telling him about Yeshua. And the man's open to listening, but he can't get past that experience. So they're having this discussion that probably went on for like 30 minutes, maybe more. Well, in the process, one of the interpreters had gotten done interpreting with talking to somebody else and turned around and was listening to their conversation. And when Heather got done speaking to the man, and the man went away crying, and he had taken a rose and everything. When Heather got done speaking, the interpreter came over to Heather and said, "I didn't know you knew Polish." Heather's like, "I don't know Polish. What do you mean?" And the interpreter said, "You were talking to him. I heard you. For the last 10 minutes, you've been carrying on fluent Polish." And Heather's like, "No, he was talking to me in English, broken English, but he was talking to me." The interpreter's like, "No, you were both talking fluent in Polish back and forth." Heather heard English the whole time. She was speaking English as far as she knows. But the man heard Polish, and the interpreter heard Polish. It was his heart language. God wants so much to communicate his love that one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the gifts of tongues, is being able to speak his love even when we don't have that language. That's a gift. That's a gift. And it was needed at that time. Heather didn't even know she was receiving it. The Lord gave it to her as needed. Like I said, this happens today. This isn't just something for 2,000 years ago. So tongues, in Acts chapter 2, it was in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, we see this gift. And I believe many times after that this gift was also working within the body as a sign to all the Jews who were in Jerusalem from many different countries. So this gift was as a sign. It was as a sign. And this was for the purpose of communicating the love of God through the gospel of Yeshua Messiah. Remember what they say about these guys? Aren't they all Galileans? You know, there's a little bit of a stigma there. Okay, that's like saying, aren't they all from Megalia? I mean, come on. Yeah, who's from Megalia? Yeah, who's from Megalia? Yeah. Aren't they all from Megalia, you know? I mean, come on, they're talking, you know, they're talking French fluently, you know? I mean, well, maybe a lot of Megalians. Okay, they're talking Polish fluently, you know, and they're from Megalia. Come on, you know, how is that possible? We're hearing the truth and the love of God in our own heart language. You know, this was an incredible miracle. Okay, so that's the first one. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, okay, that one I understand. I can understand that one. I'm okay with that. I'm comfortable with that. It has a good reason. Okay, but let's look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, 2 through 5. Because you have to understand that first one we just talked about, both parties can understand, right? The Polish guy could understand what Heather was saying. So it doesn't fit in what Paul's going to say next. For he who speaks in a tongue, this is 1 Corinthians 14, 2 through 5. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Now, if we just stop there, we'd think, oh, well, tongues is not a good gift. We shouldn't want tongues. We should only want prophecy. And Paul really doesn't like it, but that's not what he says. Going on to verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Do you see the balance in what Paul Rav Shaul is saying here? He is not saying that this gift is bad. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a good thing. But what he's saying is all of us should desire to participate in edifying the rest of the body. And if I'm up here babbling in tongues, I'm getting edified. But the rest of you are going, he's crazy. No, I'm just playing. The rest of you are going, we don't understand. We don't understand what's happening. And it can be very distracting as well. I've been in services where people have started to speak in tongues and everybody stops and is listening, or they're definitely distracted by what's going on over there. And there's no follow-up. No one knows what was said. And I'm not saying it might have been a really good thing for them. But it doesn't help the rest of the body. And what Rav Shaul, what Paul is saying here is we should always be about others before ourselves, right? We should be about edifying. Doesn't mean that we don't need to get edified ourselves sometimes, but that's for us when we're by ourselves with the Lord. So what we see here is the second one, Paul's view of tongues. First of all, it is a spiritual language for the primary purpose of personal edification. Oh, sorry. We're behind there a little bit. It is a spiritual language for the purpose of personal edification. Okay, so this type of tongues, not the first one, not the first gift that we heard, which was to communicate the gospel, but this type of tongues here, this part of the gift, is for personal edification. The person who speaks in tongues is talking to God, and others cannot understand him or her. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself, which is not bad. We need that sometimes. But it's better if we're edifying the whole body, is Paul's point. Paul says, I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesy. So he's not saying don't speak in tongues. I think it's a good gift, he says. You should. In fact, in another passage, he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. So Paul actually said, I do speak in tongues. But once again, he sees it as something that is primarily for the purpose of personal edification. When you're before the Lord, your spirit is crying out to the Lord, and you don't know what to say. Okay, there's many times when we're praying, we're talking to the Lord, we have no clue how to talk to him, what to say, how to express the inner feelings that we have. You know, there's things that I just can't put into English. And when that happens, I get overwhelmed. Now, I'm going to tell you a personal story about this. When I was 15 years old, some of you are going to get a kick out of this because you know the background. We were actually, my dad was actually working at an independent Baptist church. Anybody get that? Okay. Independent Baptist churches do not believe that the Holy Spirit is for, well, I better watch what I say. But anyways, I'll tell you what I know they do believe. They believe the Holy Spirit is for the purpose of convicting of sin and bringing people to the Lord, and that's it, pretty much. They might, you know, there might be a few other things. Maybe the Independent Baptist Church in Chico can correct me on that. But that's what I saw growing up. Outside of that, when it came to anything else, the Holy Spirit, they never talked about it. They never talked about the Holy Spirit. So we lived on the grounds of an independent Baptist church in Hialeah, Florida. My dad was in charge of maintenance. It was a $16 million facility. He had retired from construction and gone on to property management. And so we were in a little trailer. It was a pretty big trailer, a double-wide or triple-wide trailer on those grounds is where my parents and I and my grandmother lived. And I was 15. Typically, my son right now, Jaden, is 15. And not because Jaden's a bad kid, because he's a wonderful kid, But we can't trust Jaden alone by himself. We just can't. He's 15. Right? That's all I can say there. He's 15, okay? I was the same way when I was 15. I could not be trusted to be at home by myself. My grandmother was there, but she really couldn't get up and move around. But my parents went to a Bible study, and typically when I at 15, I was looking into what type of trouble I could get into while my parents were away. But this particular night, I felt this desire to pray. It was like this overwhelming desire to pray. And I knew I needed to pray, and I sat down to pray. Okay, and as I opened my mouth, I began to speak in tongues. I knew what it was, but at the same time, I felt this incredible peace. I felt this joy. I felt like the presence of the Lord just whoosh all over me. And I'm speaking in tongues, and this went on for about 30 minutes. You know, and it was a language. It wasn't just the same thing repeated over and over again. I was talking. I knew I was talking. I didn't understand everything I said, but I knew I needed to say something. And I got a call near the end of that time, because this was about probably near the end of when my parents would be away. But I got a phone call, and I picked up the phone, and it was my dad. And he's like, "I don't want you to be upset, but your mom and I just got in a head-on collision. We are okay. In fact, we are both fine. Your mom is hurt a little bit by the seatbelt. They were driving a Chevy Citation, 55 miles per hour, and a service truck pulled out. There was no way they could stop. It totaled the front of the car all the way to the windshield. Neither one of them were hurt. God told me right then, this is why you've been praying. You've been praying all night for your parents. Or not all night, but you've been praying all this time for your parents. I had no clue. I didn't know what to pray for. I didn't know I needed to pray for my parents, but I was praying. And I was praying in a heavenly language, a different language. You know, well, I mean, there was nobody around to say it was some other language, so, you know, I don't know what language it was, but it wasn't English. But the Lord showed me why. It was for a purpose. It was for a reason. Now, that's my own personal experience. So it's very precious to me. You may not believe it. That's okay. I don't care. I know what God did in my life, and I know what he's done in my life ever since. Many, many times, many, many times in the 40 mission trips and the traveling and stuff, when I didn't know how to pray, I would pray in the Spirit. Many times in my own relationship with the Lord personally, I would pray in the Spirit. But those were not things that I would do in this type of setting. It's personal. Between me and the Lord. There's been, like I said, many, many times, but that was the first time. So for me, it's like, people can say it doesn't exist today, but I know what God did in my life, personally. And so I see, and just as Paul says here, it is personal. And Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. Paul had a lot of reason to. Rav Shaul had a lot of reason to in the places that he went. To pray in this other language. So, yes, it was edifying, but it was also for a purpose. And then let's look at the third manifestation of this gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:27-28. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn. Paul is giving some direction here. Each in turn. And let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. And let him speak to himself and to God. So Paul gives some regulations for tongues when it comes to prophecy in the church. He says, in the church, there should be more than one. And one should be interpreting. And if there isn't an interpretation, then they should keep silent. Now, we don't really have a problem at Hare Yeshua with this because nobody ever speaks in tongues, usually, you know. They have in the past here at Hare Yeshua. We had a situation, a really neat example of this early on. And I won't give any names. I think only one of those people are still here. But where someone had spoken in tongues, felt like it was from the Lord, and there were two interpretations. And the first interpretation, now remember, even the interpretation, in fact, what do we need to do with the interpretation? Because that's the part we're understanding, right? So if you hear the gift of tongues and you're not understanding what they're saying, then there should be an interpretation. If there's an interpretation, what should we do with the interpretation? Look at it according to God's word, because that's the prophecy. And that's what you're supposed to do with any prophecy. So the interpretation of tongues becomes prophecy, which then needs to be tested, like we talked about last week. Test the spirits. See if they are from God. Well, the first interpretation, I was just testing in my mind as it was being said. And one of the things that was said was, we are the only ones who have this understanding and this blah, 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 blah. Anyways, and I'm like, no, that's not from the Lord. We are not the only ones who have a direct line to God or have this understanding or whatever. And so I didn't get up and say, hey, you, sit down and be quiet. No, I didn't do that. I just let that go, and I was praying at the same time. I hope people really didn't think that that was the correct interpretation. And then someone else got up, and their interpretation of what was said in the tongues, unbeknownst to them, didn't ever think I would use that term, unbeknownst to them. Anyways, without them knowing, that's a better term, without them knowing, their interpretation was exactly the what we were going to talk about that morning in the message. And so what was said in the gift of tongues and the interpretation was exactly what we were going to talk about in the passage of Scripture, and they did not know what we were going to talk about. And the Lord had a double message that morning, prophetically and through the word in the message later on. And so that's what I'm talking about, is even when you get an interpretation, it needs to be tested. None of this should be done out of order. It should all be decently and in order. That's the way the Holy Spirit works. So let's not misunderstand these things. Just because the gift of tongues is for today does not mean that we all run off and start speaking in tongues. I'm not really worried about that. But it doesn't mean that. However, it doesn't mean that we don't speak in tongues. If that is what God wants, we need to be open to that as the body. But there needs to be interpretation, just like it says in Scripture. And if there's not, like Paul says, stay quiet. You know, if there's nobody to interpret, don't say a word. Now, how do we find that out? Well, I think there's more order to this than what we're even seeing here. I think that somebody who feels like they have a prophecy or a tongue comes to one of the leadership and says, I feel God putting this on my heart. And then what you do is you find out, is there anybody who feels like they have an interpretation? And then if that's the case, because how else would you know? How else would the person know to be quiet if there wasn't, you know? So there has to be some more order there. And I think that is good. Accountability is always good. Always good. It's always good to be accountable. Now, kind of interesting. I'm going to throw this out here. Probably get thrown under the bus. But well, before we do it, let's look at this last part. Accountability when prophesying in tongues is required. Not just a good thing. It is required. Let two or three speak in tongues and let one interpret. If there is no interpretation, then be silent. You should all take turns one by one. You shouldn't have a bunch of people speaking in tongues all at the same time. It should be in turn. God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 14. I did not put this part in my notes. I was afraid of possible tomatoes being thrown at me or, you know, don't know what might happen. Just joking. You can throw them. I love tomatoes. See if I can find it. Oh, yes, verse 34. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 34. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. If they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in the church. The reason I'm bringing this up this morning is because of its location in the middle of what we're talking about this morning. And I think it's important for us to understand. First of all, as was brought to my attention this week, the pagan culture that Paul was dealing with the Corinthians, some of their deities were women. Diana, and I know there's others as well, Greek goddesses that they worshipped. And these women had a very high authority and high place in the pagan culture. And so many times, they were the prophetess. They were the ones who heard from God, and it was directed through them. Well, the context of this, I think, is quite interesting. What Paul does not want to happen and develop in the early church, in these cultures specifically, in the Greek culture where they worshipped women, was a thing where you have this one woman prophetess and everything she said the church listened to. Okay? Here's part of the problem. Now, this is true whether they're a woman or a man. Just because somebody has the gift of prophecy one day or the gift of tongues that's interpreted does not make them the go-to person for all prophetic understanding of Scripture. Does that make sense? Okay? Just because you're in somebody gets this incredible, incredible word from the Lord. Oh, I don't know, anybody named Sally here? I'll pick on Sally. I'm not talking about Sally Klein O'Connor. I'm just talking somebody named Sally. Anybody named Sally here? Okay, good. Okay, Sally is our prophetess. If you want to hear from the Lord, go to Sally. No, I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. I don't see that in the New Testament. I do see that in the Old Testament, but not in the New Testament, not in the Brit Hadashah. In the Brit Hadashah, we're a family. We work together. We have these gifts, but nobody gets singled out as being the main person for us to receive all of that divine understanding from. And see, in the pagan Greek culture, especially in some cases with some of the women that they worship, some of the goddesses, that's what happened. And so you had these women that would receive something from God, and they would be your oracles, and they would share that with everyone else. And what Paul is saying is that's not the way it is in the church. And to stop it, what he did was say, just let the women stay silent. Okay? Now, here's another reason. Who did God set up as being head of the home? The man. Who did God set up as being head of the church? Jesus, but after that, the men. Now, let me explain something. That doesn't mean we should be chauvinistic. But what it does mean is I have responsibility. The men in this church have responsibility. We have responsibility for Hare Yeshua. We have responsibility for our families. We will be held accountable before God. That's what that means. And what that means to me is I'm not just going to lay that responsibility aside because a woman can do it better. I still have the responsibility. My wife does pretty most things better than I do. But you know what? She loves that I lead. She wants me to lead spiritually. And she supports that. And that is the balance that we see in Scripture. That's the order that we see in Scripture. It's not something that the women should go, I can't believe they're treating me. Well, we better not be treating our wives or the women in our congregation bad, because how should we be treating them? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So the other side of that is us as men, how we should be acting towards our wives and towards the women in the church, and we see this totally with Jesus, don't we? I can't think of one time where Jesus treated a woman with disrespect. Not one. A little bit with his mother maybe one time, but that wasn't disrespect, right? But even in the sense where there was a pushy woman, I know we all think of Mary as, woo, Mary, mother of Jesus. But she was a Jewish woman. She was a Jewish mom. And she was pushy sometimes. Okay? The first miracle, right? Wasn't she pushy? Jesus says, "Mother, my time has not yet come." Whatever, Yeshua, whatever, you know. Hey, do whatever he tells you to do. You know, she speaks up, and even though his time hasn't come, she's getting him to already do it. You know, but he's not disrespectful. So, women, believe me, you won't lose any control. You won't lose any control. And we know you're better, okay? We know you're better. But God has given the men the responsibility. And so we have to lead, not because we're better at leading, but because of the calling, if that makes sense. Because of the calling. So we work together as a team. And what that means is the accountability happens there too, okay? So what that means is if as a woman, I mean, a few weeks ago, we had a wonderful woman give an incredible message here at Hare Yeshua. You know what I love about LaFrieda? I have never once seen her act in a place of trying to take the place of a man or trying to take control or any of that. But man, did the Holy Spirit speak through her. See, this doesn't limit anything. And guess what? When there's not a man available, when men won't step up, God will use a woman. He doesn't have a problem doing that. We see that over and over again in Scripture. But women, instead of desiring that place of authority, what you need to be doing is praying for the men that they will step into those places of leadership, that they will do what God has called them to do, not undermining, but encouraging. Men, what we need to be doing is loving our wives and treating the women in the congregation with respect like Yeshua did. And that means being willing to give ourselves for them. Okay? Because that's what Yeshua did for his bride. He gave himself. Just like he gave himself for the bride, the body, we as men need to be giving ourselves for the women. And if we're doing those things, then guess what? It'll be in order. Things will be done decently and in order. And I believe we will see effectively the manifestation of God's presence in our congregations as we are willing to do this, as we are willing to be in order. Now, if you, man or woman, if there's something that the leadership is doing you don't agree with, please come talk to us. But if we don't agree with you right away, don't give up and go somewhere else and be all upset and all that. Pray for us. If we're wrong, the Holy Spirit will show us. Wives, that's the best way to deal with husbands. Husbands, that's the best way to deal with wives, especially. Instead of outwardly correcting all the time, praying for our wives. And if we do this, once again, we will have that peace that we need to have within the congregation. We'll have that order and we'll have that structure that God designed, that God designed. So I think there's a reason why this is mentioned in this particular passage especially. Because in this particular passage, you're talking about hearing from God. You're talking about hearing from God for the whole congregation. And it should never be just one person. And in this context, it says that it should come through the men in the congregation. I'm not saying a woman can never speak. In fact, I don't believe that. Otherwise, we wouldn't have women that have spoken. In fact, I think women can bring messages even. But when it comes to prophecy, when it comes to tongues, when it comes to those types of things, I think we need to be very careful that we do it decently and in order, according to what Scripture says. Now, that's my take on this, and I don't think it was by mistake that this was placed where it was. But it doesn't mean that, I know as he says, women should keep silent in the church, but in the context of what he's talking about, it doesn't mean women can never speak when they're in the congregation. It's not what that means. But in this context, and I think what we would find if we looked at the Corinthian church is that there were a lot of things that were out of order when it came to men and women and that whole thing. So back once again, a reminder, finishing up. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Remember, once again, when the Holy Spirit, when there's a gift of the Holy Spirit given, even the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, it's given for the profit of all, that everyone can profit. That's how we should look at it. It's never just for our own profit. Not even the personal edification of tongues is indirectly for our own profit, right? Because if you're being edified, that's going to help me indirectly. But it's better when you prophesy that the whole congregation can hear and be encouraged. So, Lord, I ask that everything that was of you and those things that you wanted us to understand and know today and hear, that we will hear, Lord, and those things that are not of you, that we'll be able to let them go. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you've given us as believers. And once again, I pray that we will be faithful, not to, Lord, that we won't run away from these things, especially the things that we are uncomfortable with. But Lord, we will let you work as you choose to work in our congregation and in our personal lives before you. And Lord, not be afraid of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but also, Lord, not be those that misuse them. Lord, that we will not try to make these things happen, but Lord, if they do happen, that we will glorify you, give you glory and honor. And Lord, we thank you for everything that you are doing in our lives, that you are preparing us, continuing to prepare us for something really good, or maybe some things really good, Lord, as we have many different directions that you may lead us in the future. But Lord, we know as we trust you, our faith will continue to grow. So we thank you for everything you're doing this morning, and we just thank you for your love and your goodness. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. I want to thank